fucking thing sucks!
This is five fucking stars!
Everybody's looking for the weekend. Yeah, yeah. Everybody's dancing like there's no tomorrow. I don't know the lyrics to that song at all. I am Mike Coughlin, and that's a way to get you to listen. Yeah, Coughlin and listen. That ain't how it works. I'll use that in a rap battle one day. I'm here flying solo. Matt's, I don't know, I think he was at like a witch trial or something. Like, yes, a trial for witches, like in Salem or something. And I'm probably going to do this kid. I'm very curious to see how this is going to sound, because I don't have my computer plugged in, but I still have the mixer thingy. I don't know what to call it. That's plugged in, and I think it's using the native powers. I don't know, it doesn't matter. Who cares? So if this gets stopped, shut the fuck up. So yeah, it's just me, and that's all right. We can power through this. I know we can. Oh my gosh, it's only been a minute. Okay. yes, everybody. Hello, welcome to. I should say the name of the show. Say the name of the show, stupid. Hello, everybody. I am named Michael Coughlin. I am the purveyor of HalfGuarded.com. And you are listening to MMA and Stuff. This is a podcast, and usually I have my co-host Matt here, but I don't. And so I'm just going to talk about whatever I would normally talk about. I don't feel like this is loud enough. That is upsetting me. I can't mix it. What if I monitor mix this way? Is that any louder? No. That was weird. I don't know, my decibel level there should be okay. I'm going to have to go ahead and blame the Jews on this one. I'm just going to have to say it. Anyways, that's neither here nor there. Mike, nobody cares about inside baseball. And nobody in San Francisco cares about baseball, period, right now, because fuck that team. Anyways, yes, MMA and stuff. We talk MMA, we do some stuff, whatever's going on in the world, the news, who should shut the fuck, just get to it. I got nothing for you people. I'm trying to do a show that I think would make Matt proud, but I don't think I'm good enough for it. I'm just rambling and going on and on. George St. Pierre is officially signed to fight Michael Bisping at UFC 2, enter it later, in November in Madison Square Garden. So that's a pretty big fight, and I bet it's going to be, well, I don't know, that's good enough, a pretty big fight. If John Jones and Daniel Cormier either did like a million on the last show, that fight should do a million. And that's a pretty big fight, all things considered. When you really think of like everybody's kind of like, oh, the UFC, they're losing their draws, things or expectations are down or whatever people are saying these days. But like, you know, these are big ass fucking fights. Like those are huge numbers. No, nobody should ever like cast like a side eye at somebody who's getting, you know, 2 or 3 million buy pay-per-views in a year. That's pretty badass. I mean, let's face it. If you go back to last November and carry through this November, you'll have that last November was 1.3 million or something like that. Then you had Ronda and Betts, it was like 1 million. And then we just pulled off Jones and Cormier's 1 million. GSP and Bisping will be 1 million. So what is that, like 4 million plus buy shows in a 12-month calendar? And honestly, the UFC should get the credit for at least a fifth when you think that, you know, the McGregor-Mayweather fight, you know, that's taken at least 1 million buy show away from the UFC because McGregor would have fought instead. So, I mean, that's 4 or 5 million buy pay-per-views the UFC's had in the last 12 months. That's pretty damn good. And I know, it doesn't look like it's the greatest of moments in times or whatever people say. I don't know what people say. But, you know, it feels like it could be more. First of all, I'll say to you, we don't have any shows till like next fucking month. Oh, this sucks. But more than that, it always looks like this. It just always seems to look like the company is going out of business, or like everything looks like it's on the downside, and then all of a sudden, nope. I mean, you know, she's all that hot and big and blah, blah, blah. And then it's like, oh, wait, we have nothing left. Then 2012 shows up, boom, Ronda's there. All of a sudden, it's like, oh, shit, we got something big. And then I was like, oh, the Ronda thing can't last forever. That's true. And then, boom, Connor's there. And I was like, oh, Connor can't last forever. Again, that's true, but somebody else is going to show up. Now, no, they won't be at the same level. You know, I was going to say they won't be at the same level, but fuck it. I'm guessing, I don't know exactly what I would have said, but, you know, especially with Ronda, I would never have foreseen her getting to the level she's at. You know, after Chuck Liddell pulled off, you know, multiple million buy pay-per-views over his career, I really didn't, you know, I thought him, then maybe Brock would be kind of the top end of what the sport could be, just due to the freak nature of him. But then Ronda's come along, and, you know, she's every bit of draw as anybody's ever been, and then Connor's even bigger than him, her. Oops, that was a Freudian slip. So, yeah, I mean, the company's fine. It's fine, everybody. And we have a big fight in GSP and Michael Bisping as the fucking interim champion waits in the wings. You fucking morons. Whatever. Whatever. Yeah, honestly, there's really nothing more to say about the fight. I guess it's official. George St. Pierre said it's official. I don't know. That's it. You're going to have to watch it. We'll talk more about it later or something. It's, what do you want from, what do you want from me? Oh, yeah, I got to keep doing the show. So, yeah, there's that. So, I got stuff on in the background. More specifically, I'm trying to get Lesnar versus Carwin playing. I need something to stimulate me at all times. That's why I prefer one of the bum as well. So, yeah. Yeah, GSP's back, which we already knew. And he's fighting Bisping, which I guess we knew. Let's all just acknowledge that everybody said, oh, we'll just pretend like it's going to be a big layoff and Bisping can't come back and blah, blah, blah. So for the sake of a fucking interim title for that dude from New Zealand, as most people refer to him. Or Robert Whittaker, yeah. Ugh, these UFC video game graphics back then, wow. Yeah, That's I don't even know why I'm doing this way. If I was walking the dog, it would be a better show, but I thought, no, this will sound better. I don't even know if it sounds better, but maybe it'll be more appropriate or higher quality or something like that in my head. My naive Midwestern hillbilly head. I just didn't take it all into consideration. You may call me a dreamer. And I should be the only one because I'm a moron. Yeah, because one must, if one is so inclined. Floyd Mayweather had a sit-down interview with Stephen A. Smith. It was awesome. It was exactly what I would have expected. Nobody was real. It was all pro wrestlers, and it was fucking glorious. Stephen A. Smith was just sitting there with his sleeves rolled up, legs spread on a stool or some shit, as he, it looks like he's kind of like trying to be chill and relaxed or whatever as he's talking to Floyd, and Floyd's doing the same thing wearing a fucking like hoodie and shit, or something, I'm sure, instead of like a boxing ring that says TMT, which I think the Money Train, is that what it is? Team Money Train? I don't know. This asshole, what an asshole Floyd is. This son of a bitch wanted to try to trademark and get over the catchphrase TBE, the best ever. I think it takes more effort to say TBE than it does the best ever. I have to enunciate all those fucking different sounds that all kind of sound the same, but use different parts of the mouth. So, screw you, Floyd, you dumb hick. I'm a hick. He's a... Eh, it's kind of a hick in his own dumb way. But yeah, the interview was useless and pointless outside the big talking point. Everybody's like, we got to talk about this. And I think everybody's doing kind of what I did. It was just kind of like, you know, he's lying. And then I realized I'm actually better because I'm mocking them for their hackery. Yeah, Floyd said, he's got more of a chance than before. I'm older than before. Everybody said Berto wouldn't do real well with me. But he went the distance, and that was like 2 years ago, and I'm 2 years older. And, you know, Connor, he's bigger and stronger and faster and younger. And I'm like, this son of a bitch is really trying to actually sell this, but he's doing it in such a way that I actually like it. Because he's saying it, and then Stephen A. Smith just looks at him like, do you really expect me to believe this? Which is a hell of a way for a journalist to ask a question, by the way. But do you really expect me to believe this? Floyd's like smirking the whole time, which is great. He knows he's full of shit. He knows it's a lie, a canard, a farce, if you will. Other adjectives insert later. It's great. And he's like, look at the camera like, no. He's really got a... Oh, boy. Okay. Let me take it over from the top. He can beat... I said I could do it. Let me... He could beat... me. How could he beat me? Why should anybody spend $100 to see this? Well, you see, he's, younger. I mean, he's never boxed before in his life, but he's younger. And, he's taller than me, and everybody knows that being really tall gives you, superhuman advantage in the world of fighting. You've ever seen those cartoons where one guy puts his hand on the other guy's head? It's exactly the same thing right there, and he's bigger, and everybody knows size matters, right, ladies? I'm black from the waist down, too. And he's younger. So, no, I know that means he doesn't have... he would naturally have less experience than me anyways, but that doesn't really matter. He's got no experience. Honestly, let's face it, guys, his age doesn't matter. Yeah, good performers there, Floyd. Although I did like at one point Floyd was like, what was it? Oh, yeah, I gotta come at him. Kind of like saying, like, I can't... He's trying to, like, sell it at one point, like, I can't afford to lay back and let this big power-punching Mick get the better of me. But then it kind of morphed into, like, I kind of owe it to everybody. I know that Pacquiao fight sucked ass, so I promise I'm gonna knock this clown out. Basically what he's saying. It was a veiled, coded message that only us upper echelon people get. Because when you're thinking upper echelon in life, Floyd Mayweather, well, he does got all that money. Damn bastard. But no, it was a hell of a waste of time. You know, absolutely nobody's life was better for having seen this, and this thing has been even more of a fucking freak show than I ever would have imagined. It's so glorious. I would have never come up with, they'll somehow trick Paulie Malignaggi into sparring with Connor. They'll take these blatantly deceptive photos to make it look like Connor dropped him. Have some other Irish dude say, like, no, Connor just beat the hell out of him. Like, again, this guy who has never boxed in his life against a former multi-weight world champion. And, again, they're still trying to sell us on this. Oh, no, it's good. And to lie about it and to such a weird extent. It's just great. This is a movie. This is Rocky. This is exactly what Rocky would do. Somebody would do something like this. God bless these dumb bastards in this stupid press tour. I haven't even watched the All Access stuff yet. I know I should, but I just haven't. Because that's how I roll. Yeah, I don't know. There wasn't a ton of news really lately. WMEIMG supposedly... Well, not supposedly, I guess. There was a bit of a mini hubbub that Dana was gone. Gotta get some water. It's getting parched. Can never afford to be parched, kids. If you're parched, you're as good as dead in the water. No, yeah. So WMEI looking to recoup some of their $4 billion. or I guess they took some investors or something like that, yeah, into their sports division, which is the UFC, I think some Red Bull shit, and like a monster truck thing or something like that. Tractor truck, rodeo. Rodeo is a thing. Probably some monster trucks too, I don't know. And so they sold some interest in it or whatever, and they're using the money that they got to buy off the rest of the outstanding debts they owe to the Fertitta brothers. And probably there was the Sheik dude, and supposedly even Dana. And I suspect that this was not really a big deal. My guess would be that I'm just guessing, and these guys are just billionaires. What do they know? But then they sold the company. They, you know, at first it sounded like, oh, maybe they were, you know, the Fertittas just wanted a little stake because, oh, you always want a little bit left or whatever. But it could have been as simple as, in that transition period, they wanted to, you know, give the Fertittas and the White and all that, all the players involved, an incentive to, you know, kind of to not screw the thing up. You know, to kind of play ball and make it nice, and things would be a little bit better then. And maybe now that he's, you know, okay, they've settled with the company. It's been a year. Maybe that debt's due anyways. You know, they kind of settled into the company. They know what they're doing and all that. So now they're like, here's your money. Like, here's your $100 million or whatever it was, something like that. And the great part is that the two entities that bought it were the Canadian pension system and the Singapore government. So Canada and Singapore now both own part of the UFC. That's so weird to me. Like, it would really be weird for anything they'd own. It's not really so much that they own the UFC, although that is kind of bizarre that we live in a world where once the sport was being banned everywhere and now governments buy it. But I just think that's kind of weird in general that governments, like, invest. Like, you're the government. You're not supposed to invest in a private company. And I don't just mean, like, as if, like, they're not doing, like, obviously a corporate welfare type of thing. Like, they actually think that they want to get a return on their investment, which, again, they're just traditional investors, so to speak, and I'm using the word investor a lot. But they do it, and then I guess if the company fails, they lose their money, or, like, it's just weird to me, because that does seem to be a bit of a conflict. Again, I know that governments do this all the time, the teachers' pensions and all that invest, and I think a lot of times the money is, you know, handled independently, so there can't be any government fuckery. Still, I mean, if you're a UFC and you're going to Winnipeg, a city in Canada, Winnipeg, Manitoba, I think it is, the place of the moose, if you're going to go there, you just be like, hey, you guys are going to lose money everywhere this way. So, I don't know. Singapore, I don't give a shit. Singapore, of course they do. Like, I picture, like, everybody in Asia is all kind of interconnected. Like, my general theory of how the world looks like economically, this is good. You have the United States of America, freest economic country in the world. Man owns his own stuff. Government gets involved here and there, but not nearly to the extent that they do over in Europe. So, for the most part, America's the land of the free, home of the brave, and when I want to pay an illegal immigrant half wages, well, damn it, I can still do so. What a fuck it. And not only that, there'll be people fighting for the right for that guy to keep showing up on my doorstep and accept that money. Awesome. Now then you get a little bit to the east of America. You got Europe. Yeah, not nearly as economically free as America, of course. Oh, Africa doesn't count because Africa doesn't really have an economy. What a horrible thing that's happened to that continent. Just an entire continent full of hundreds of millions of people, probably billions of people, and they really have nothing. They don't have an economy. Yeah, I know. Oh, South Africa probably does this and that. Right? Like, no. If you think of, like, if you got a piece of clothing that said, like, made in the Congo, you'd be like, what the fuck? First, you'd be like, okay, your initial reaction would probably be one of the two things. Either this is really low quality, or if you're me, is Congo really a country? Because it always seems like it's not a real country. Because it just sounds kind of fake. you know, like it's a movie thing. It's like different people that live there. It's just fucking like monkeys run the Congo. I don't mean that as a racist thing. I just realized. So anyways, America's all handling the free, home of the brave, and all that stuff. Africa doesn't count. South America, nobody cares about you guys. As long as you keep trying to come up here, you don't get to claim anything. Plus, well, their stuff's in the shitter too. Venezuela, man, what a shitstorm that one turned out to be, huh? Holy shit. I mean, my word, people. My word, I say. This country is in fucking crazy disarray. It's insane. It's been like this forever. And we're all just like, oh yeah, that's just how that country is. Everybody's just killing each other, but not really killing each other. It's almost like everybody's just like, they're fighting like pro basketball players fight. They're kind of posturing, but nobody's really going for the jugular. So there's just enough basic humanity still that it's not a total all-out slaughter. Still, though, it's fucking weird. So anyway, America's land of free. Europe, much more regulated. Still has some freedom, though. Like, they're still, at the very least, even if you really hate the commies over there in, France and everything, they still at least maintain an illusion of separation between their industry and their government. Like, even if it's like healthcare, where it's, the national healthcare, for instance, here in England, people still will say, like, oh, they want to try to privatize it. Which, the thing is, if you live in a country where your industries are still identified enough that you think, I want to privatize that, then, again, at least conceptually in your head, those are separate things. Like, you never heard anybody in Russia, or, communist countries, they're never like, we should privatize a couple things. They'd be like, that doesn't make any sense. We run everything. Everybody does everything. There's no difference. There's no industries. We're all industry. Then you get to Russia where, everything starts to mix. You got that Soviet holdover stuff. By the way, my example is going to falter with China, kind of, but Asia is a little different. This all goes back to Singapore. And so, in Russia, the government in the industries, and in more importantly as compared to Europe and America, land of the free, is that Russia has, essentially the open mixing of legitimate government, legitimate business to the extent of legitimate, and essentially organized crime. Much more than like even in America. Like, okay, fine. All the big rich people are all in it together. The 1%ers all hate everybody. Yeah, I get it. Fine. It's not like it is in Europe, like in Russia. Like, it's really bad. Like, again, at least here we have the imagination. I don't know what the hell I was trying to say there. But we at least pretend. The illusion, that's probably what I was going for. And China, obviously more extreme than Russia. But again, even in China, you can kind of see where it's not 100% there, because there's things like that Ma, I think his name is, and something else where, like, the richest, like, there's somebody out there called the richest man in China. Like, the Chinese acknowledge somebody's individual wealth, and they allow somebody, it's going to be all very, very crooked. Unlike in America where, yes, again, some rich people are crooks, but there are people who make money and they really, truly are honest and earn it. And they may not make, hundreds of millions, but even then, there's some of those guys out there. Warren Buffett seems like an okay dude. Bill Gates, he seems like an okay enough guy. Like, now that he's got all this money, he's not just hoarding it and doing crazy evil things. Like, he's fucking giving water to Africa and, like, toilets. Like, that's pretty good. Again, even in China, you have some concept of individuality, even though, again, it's more restricted there than it is even in Russia. And then you get all the way to North Korea. Oh, by the way, Singapore, getting all this back. Singapore is in there, kind of with Hong Kong, where they are these odd little examples where we kind of pretend that things are free, there, but we all know that, you know, I love you, Hong Kong. By the way, I don't know where the Middle Eastern Arab stuff goes and all this. They're just so unique and weird. They don't even, again, they're obviously more advanced than Africa, but they're very close as far as almost not having anything but having everything. Like, they don't have a separation a la, like, in France, I was saying, you know, they don't have that, really. Like, the whole religion and politics, it's all the same. Everything at the Quran, it's such a unique thing where everything is governed by one book. Like, and this isn't like, you know, the Bible was really influential and all this stuff. That's true, but the kings, there were still multiple kings running their own kingdoms and all this. And yes, I know they probably have some laws and shit like that in Tehran, but it's really all run by one book. And especially when you consider how religious it is, how unique that is, really. You know, again, the Christian world, yeah, there's some people that you shouldn't, what is it, like, borrow too much money or shit like that. But for the most part, people were independent of the Bible on some level. You know, we had a tradition predating the Bible, the, you know, Judeo-Christian tradition in the West with the Greeks and everything, and we kept, you know, a lot of that stuff. We still had, you know, addition and whatnot. But whereas in Islamic countries, and it's kind of weird because I don't think of Indonesia as having that problem. I think of that as just being another poor, crazy, sweaty, hot Asian place. But with the Quran, I think if you kind of jazz it up, by the way, like if you're ever talking about anything like foreign, but you want to kind of be a little bit of a bigot, who amongst us has not thought to themselves, this conversation would be so much more fun if I could just be a bigot. However, if you want to, like, you know, talk shit about something, you just say it in a really fancy way. Like, if I'm like, if somebody's out there talking about Mohammed or Muhammad, you're like, really? But if you're like, the Prophet Muhammad, you're like, oh, he's a little more respectful. Even if I'm like, the Prophet Muhammad is a goat fucking piece of shit, and I hate him. I got a lot of accents on that one, I won't lie. But if I was like, that Prophet Muhammad, he is sure a swell guy. In fact, I think he's perfect, and I listen to him, and I wish peace to be upon him. Big, huh? Yes, Mike, you've come up with nothing interesting at all. Akiyama and Chris Lieben. Is Akiyama retired? Wish Matt was here to help me out. Thanks, Matt. So anyway, and then you get all the way to North Korea, and look at it. North Korea has nothing. It is the closest we have to an ideal communist state in some respects. Yes, I know. The totalitarian thing, the Kim family running all that's not. It's different. But it's still, again, there's no idea that there's any individual ownership of anything. Like, everything belongs to, really, to Kim, but it's still one dude owns everything. And it's not even like in medieval times when, like, the king owned everything, but you're still a butcher and a baker and a candlestick maker. I don't think that those guys that are in North Korea, well, they don't actually have anything to butcher. Although I think candlestick maker could be a big, big profession in North Korea. It's not a way fucking more lucrative profession than electrician. I don't really know how I factor in South Korea and Japan. Actually, they're similar to China. Just when you really look at how, not, again, it's like a Confucius, I think it really does result from Confucianism dominating Eastern thought. But even in Japan, while they're freer than China in many respects, you still see people killing themselves out of shame and people not really getting, you know, staying loyal to a company like Sakuraba, just taking insane punishment. And it's not even because he necessarily has the love of fighting. It's, oh, I got to go do one more favor for this loyal company and all this. Like, nobody in America does that. Like, guys may hang on and keep playing. But you're not going to see, I can't imagine anybody ever saying, yeah, I wasn't going to play football this year, but I know we just lost, like, all of our free agents, and the team needs me to go out there so the fans can cheer for somebody. You'd be like, what are you, insane? That's stupid. Yes, I'm saying Japan is stupid. And then there's, like, the Pacific Islands and all that. And honestly, then you kind of just start coming all the way around, circle of life. That, you know, get to Hawaii and all that. Things are more laid back. They're chill. You get to, and then that kind of flows into California, where there's just still enough of American spirit. So, yeah. Canada owns the UFC. And the UFC was in Canada's rival, Mexico, this past weekend. There's no shows coming up. Again, there's nothing. Maybe Bellator has something. I don't know. Ah, it tastes so good sometimes, doesn't it? But yeah, no, nothing until like September 5th or some shit. So we had a show. Pettis and Moreno headline. Pettis won the main event by decision. He won this fight. It was kind of interesting in the first. Moreno came out, got it down, got the back, and held the back for, it seemed like about 3.5-4 minutes. Like, he really, really controlled. And under a new, more liberal judging system, that could be a 10-8. I don't know what the fuck they're using in Mexico City, but whatever. And then in the second and third and fourth rounds, Pettis just kind of went out there and kept it standing. Used a kick here and there, but mostly just pitter-patter with punches. Didn't hit a lot. It was mostly Moreno would kind of like run away and throw something half-assed. It was nothing big. And again, as those rounds went on, Pettis did pick up a little bit more of a rhythm, but it was there. And he won the round, but it's not a big deal. And then in the fifth round, Pettis was doing okay. Then Moreno got a takedown, and he got on top for like a minute or two. But he wasn't really doing anything at all. And then Pettis got up. You really could have had either a draw or, you know, a win for Pettis. I don't think you could really give the fight to Moreno in any way, but nonetheless, Sergio Pettis wins. He might get the next title shot. He didn't do himself any favors here. He didn't do anything, like, horrible. Obviously, he won at least. But he should have been able to put Moreno away. And I get the impression Moreno is going to be difficult and tricky for people, but still, even the way Moreno looked, it's not like when the fight was over, I'm like, well, you know, it turns out Brandon Moreno just improved leaps and bounds. Like, no, when I watch it, that's a guy whose stand-up is not good enough to be in the UFC right now. I'm like how my levels are getting higher and higher on this fucking thing. Better and better sound quality as I scream louder and louder. I wasn't enunciating enough before, but now I'm in my glory, and Pettis will probably be fed to Mighty Mouse for his glory. And it will be his glory, because there's a little odd asterisk in the world of title defenses. Everybody thinks that Mighty Mouse has tied the record at 11 in a row, and that when he beats Ray Borg, and he will beat Ray Borg, because Ray Borg is Ray Borg, that he will have broke the record. And that will be kind of true, but I offer up to you all an asterisk. Because Anderson Silva was cheated out of a title defense when he fought Travis Luter, when Luter missed weight. That should have been, he beat Luter easy. There's no problems there. It's not like he beat him in, you know, a 3-round decision. He tapped him out. And yet, he didn't get credit for a title defense. That was his title defense. This one, Ray Borg, that's the one to tie it in the official halfguard.com record book, you see. So, yeah, that's that. My computer just went into sleepy mode. Please be... It's still recording. I haven't seen anything from Pettis that made me think, yep, he's going to definitely do this. I don't think that about anybody at 125 pounds vis-a-vis Mighty Mouse, but Pettis didn't get that big... Yeah, you know what I'm trying to say. Who gives a shit? Alexa Grasso missed fucking weight because she's an idiot. I think she actually legitimately claimed that it was because she was on her period and therefore carrying water weight. Which, good for her. I hope it is true. Because I've always thought it could be true. And I always wondered why it wasn't. So yeah, she and Randall Marco suck. They just went out there and it was fucking awful. Just, they didn't do shit. They didn't hurt each other. When it was over, I was like, I don't know who won. They just kind of went in there and did crap. It sucked. What didn't suck was Nico Price knocked out Alan Jouban real bad in the first round, just killed him dead. Humberto Bandale beat Martin Bravo with a badass Miracle Crow Cop-like high kick in 20 seconds. It was like, oh, dude, that was ballsy as awesomeness. Sam Alvey beat Rashad Evans. Yeah, this is one of the worst fights you'll ever see. Sucked. I have no recollection of it for that reason. That fight sucked. And the only other thing that I don't care about that. Dustin Ortiz, who we like, beat Hector Sandoval in like 14 seconds with a punch. It was a good win there for Mr. Ortiz. You gotta love the man for what he did there. For what he did for God and for country. And now for Canada. Yeah. And that was a show. No, you don't need to watch it. You really don't. Nobody does. It was there, and now it's gone. And let's see if there's been any other news popped up. Nevada commissioned a vote on lighter gloves for Mayweather and McGregor. Of course they're going to do something like this. Even if it's all phony, they'll time it so it has to be in the official media agenda or something like that. And Aram puts it there or some shit. And then it's all of a sudden like, oh, ladies and gentlemen, it's part of the big build-up to the fight. And this, by the way, is why this thing's going to be gigantic. Because it gets treated as an event at the level that nothing else gets treated. Like, even the Super Bowl doesn't get this. Super Bowl only has 2 weeks to hype it up. Although it gets pretty crazy like this. Yeah, Super Bowl's really bad that 1 week. But again, you see this little dumb stuff. Oh, they had a press tour. Oh, wait, look at that. Pauly Malignaggi, he got dropped, or did he not? Oh, Floyd said that he's too old for it. And now they're going to vote on what size gloves they're going to wear. And yet, nothing has changed from day one. Floyd Mayweather is the best of his generation, and Conor McGregor has never done this before. Floyd could be blindfolded, and he could have pillows for gloves, and Conor could have brass knuckles on. He'd still beat Conor. But no, this is going to be great. I hope they sign off on 4-ounce gloves. Oh, they're going to vote on a meeting on August 16th. Executive Director Bob Bennett confirmed with MMA Fighting. That means that somebody spoiled it and said, The commission rule, which is mostly universal in boxing, is that fighters who compete at 147 pounds and above cannot wear 8-ounce gloves. The standard for those bouts is 10-ounce gloves. Since McGregor and Mayweather are going to be at 155 pounds, although, if they allow Conor to fight in the first place, what's the big deal about whether the gloves are safe or not? The gloves are not the issue in this matter, you morons. Oh yeah, this is great. Bob Barnett explained, they would have to come before the commission and articulate why they should be permitted to have their fight using 8-ounce gloves. The chairman, Anthony Marnell, and the commissioners would make the determination, this is a direct quote, with the health and safety of the fighters being the number one priority. Again, you guys passed that road sign 5 miles back. You don't get to go back for it now. It's over. You lost the right to claim this is about the health and safety of people. I don't blame you. I'd have done it too. An Instagram thing from Mayweather or something like that. That's all. Conor, you can fight whatever you want. It's all comedy. Blah, 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 blah. Nah, no one cares. So yeah, that was the last minute news. I'm going to close on that because that's a good thing to close on. Me mocking morons. So yeah, this wasn't the best of shows, but it wasn't the worst of shows either. And the dog is looking at me like, would you just shut up and go back to watching Game of Thrones? All right. All right. Puggle. I'll do that. And he yawns at me. So everybody, thanks for listening. Matt will probably be... hopefully be back next week. And if he's not, you're going to get more of this shit. Until that time comes, I'm Just My Coughlin for MMA and Stuff at HalfGuarded.com, saying to one and all, good fight, good night, et au revoir, mes amis.
Normal. Normal. Come on, guys. Normal. That's nothing. Normal. Two legs, two arms. Normal.
I think every time he watches that last fight, you know, I'm under his skin. You know, every time you watch memes of him getting held by Cain Velasquez crying, you know, that gets under his skin.
So is your, like,
my
hatred?
Mere existence, it gets under his skin.
The bad gimmicks he's given that's ruined potentially good talent's careers. The bad writing that he's done that's ruined, you know, promotions to possibly compete with Vince. The stupid shit that he did when he was with Vince that he takes credit for, you know, the big boom period when there's Steve Austin and The Rock and a network quality production facility and Jim Ross, the best announcer in the history of wrestling, and all of these tools that he had at his disposal, and, you know, he was writing fucking midgets and people painted fucking colors and everything, and takes credit for the big, it just, the whole thing.